I'd like to do is walk through a little case study and tell you how I like to process case studies in the hope of maybe giving a little bit of insight into how to process cases and to really think through the start to finish of a case. In part because for some of us, you're going to be going through ACBC certification. And how many of you have actually started that process? Okay, I see a few hands floating around. If you choose to go through that, you not only have a couple of exams to write, but you have 50 hours of counseling that has to be supervised in order to get that done. And the 50 hours of supervision is really about helping you learn counseling process. And so I want to walk through a case study to help us think a little bit about that. Okay, let's talk about this case. This was a real case. I've changed a few details, but it's got some interesting elements to it that I'd like to highlight. Let me, first of all, just read the first part of it. A 17-year-old girl named Holly calls your counseling center because she wants counseling. She's just a few months from turning 18, and when you attempt to engage the mother in the conversation, you discover several important facts. First, you'll learn that Holly's mother lives with her boyfriend about 10 minutes away from Holly's house. Well, that's kind of puzzling, huh? Second, the mom tells you that Holly's father lives about 700 miles away in the Carolinas. Third, you learn that Holly lives with her grandmother. Fourth, you learn that her grandmother's very sick and is barely able to care for herself and will likely die in the months ahead. Holly decided to seek counseling because her youth pastor and his wife encouraged her to do so. Holly told them that she is cutting regularly and she struggles to stay away from internet pornography. After some persuasion, both Holly and her mother signed the consent form. Thankfully, Holly's youth pastor and his wife were not simply interested in passing her off to others. Instead, they came to counseling with Holly to help her and to learn from you how to counsel. After all, the youth pastor and his wife admitted that they do not know what to do when Holly shared her story. So you're like, man, I wish I got to counsel Holly. Some of you are like, yeah. Some of you are like, no. Okay, so let's think a little bit about this case. So we have our first meeting, and here's just some of the facts that you learn. You learn that Holly made a profession of faith 2 years ago at a church camp, and life has been radically different since that moment. And the youth pastor and his wife also testify to that same reality. That's encouraging, right? That's a good piece of news. So we're not just talking about a person who had an emotional moment at a church camp and they just started doing what everybody else was doing. It seems as if there is true, genuine conversion here. Okay, two, you learn that Holly cuts very regularly. It is not daily, but close. Her studies in high school and her job at a fast food restaurant sometimes keep her very busy. However, when she has downtime, she cuts. Third, Holly and her grandmother live alone. Holly rarely talks to her father, and even her mother is not part of her life. She makes an appearance from time to time, but Holly is functionally emancipated. So that tells you a little bit, doesn't it? Tells you a little bit about Holly's life. Tells you a little bit about what she's been through. Tells you a little bit about how you're going to have to minister to her. Holly is rarely in pornography, meaning months, meaning monthly, and she has gone long periods of time without it. But when she is, it is typically a man and a woman having sex. She sometimes looks at men, but most of the time it is couple sex videos. She apparently does not struggle with same-sex attraction. Number five, as you dig into Holly's history, you discover that she was sexually molested by one of her stepmothers when she was in her early teens. Holly's father had been gone for years and had married or had live-in girlfriends several times. Holly would typically have an extended visit during the summers, and one summer she was molested. She does not tell you all the details, but it is clear that she did things of a sexual nature and that she neither wanted nor consented to. Shortly after the molestation is when the cutting began. Finally, you learn that Holly and her youth pastor know about Vision of Hope. That is our ministry associated with our church, which is a residential program where ladies actually come and live in a home that was built on the church property for roughly a year while they get counsel and while they get removed from the environment that they were in before, in the hopes of them really growing and changing. Holly's youth pastor is pushing that she apply, and Holly is somewhat open to the idea. This looks like it could be a reality, but it will take several months before the application process can be completed and a move-in date arranged. There are several others ahead of her waiting to enter the home. Okay, so I've given you a case. I've given you a fair bit of facts. I've given you essentially what would be a summary of the first 45 minutes of your first session. And so now it's time to think. It's time to get a plan. It's time to organize. And one of the things I often remind our Master of Arts of Biblical Counseling students when I ask them to discuss case studies is they always want to ask another question. They always want to say, hey, what's the next question? Well, here's the reality. You don't always get another question. You don't get another answer. You have to deal with the data that you have, do the very best you can while you get more data. You're always going to live in the world where you have insufficient evidence. And so you do the very best you can. You're not trying to ignore or push aside Proverbs 18:13. He who answers the matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him. You're trying to live according to that passage, but you also recognize that you only get so much data so often. So what do? And I want to suggest to you that my first question is a question that I think really helps you as you begin thinking about how to counsel people. The first question is, how would you conceptualize this case? In other words, tell me what you would think about Holly. What impressions do you have about Holly? How would you understand Holly? What are the things about Holly that would help direct your conversation to her? So let's open it up. What things have you heard? What things have you seen in the data that I've already given you that would help you understand how to minister to Holly? Okay, number one, that Holly is an immature Christian. She has been saved for 2 years or less. She is involved in the youth ministry. Her youth pastor is there, and so there's some support. There's some good things about that, but she still is somewhat of a baby Christian. All right, so that's going to help me at minimum remember that I cannot give her 40,000 verses in the course of our conversation. And if you think that's crazy, come and listen to my supervisions. I once had a person who was doing counseling who turned in their case reports, and I was just coming in on the front end of this, but the counseling case had gone on for several weeks. So I was looking at like 5 sessions. I counted the number of verses that the counselor shared with the counselee in 5 weeks, and it was like 30. I was like, 30? I couldn't process 30 passages of scripture that quickly. How in the world is your counselee going to be able to process that much that quick? I mean, that's a tremendous amount of scripture. And so I realize, being a new Christian, that many of the things that I say will be new to her. And so I'm going to go slow. I need to be careful. I need to let things sink in. I need to let her have opportunity to absorb them. Okay, good. What else? Okay, she's had a lot of really boy, you just see suffering all over this girl's life, don't you? I mean, first of all, she has her mom and dad who divorce. Then she has her dad who remarries several times, has living girlfriends on occasion. And she is there over the summers. And so, quite frankly, it's like, you know, which woman is here this year? You know, so every year that she goes for the summer, she's got a new woman that she has to relate to. Then when you think about her own mother has abandoned her. Her own mother left to live with her boyfriend. And now this girl is stuck living with a sick grandmother who can't care for herself. As it turned out in the case, she actually died. So she is basically on her own. Here's a 17-year-old girl on her own with a dad who has ignored her, with a mom who has abandoned her, And on top of that, not only has she had a number of women that she's had to relate to, but one of them even molested her. You had your hand.